2 Peter chapter 1. Good specials tonight. Special this morning. Very good. And we have a very talented church. We just need about 17 more piano players so I don't have to play for the special. I feel so inadequate, but I'm thankful to be able to do that and love our church. 2 Peter, of course, written by Peter. And I think as you read the book of Peter, I think we can identify with him because Peter lived a life of emotion. Peter lived a life of quick action and slow thought. Anybody else live in that category? And matter of fact, Peter lived a life of denying the Lord at times. And Peter lived a life of backslidden and then being used greatly of God. I think that could be all of our life. There's nobody in this auditorium that says, I've never backslid on the Lord. There's nobody here like that. And so we all can identify with Peter. We all can say, yes, I can identify with him. Maybe we can't identify with Paul. Maybe we can't identify with John. But I don't know about you, but I can identify with St. Peter. I can identify with Simon Peter. And so as we read these few verses, and we're going to read down to verse 15, I want you to notice some things that are in here that have been a help to me, and we'll talk about these things tonight. These things, it's the title of the message, and you're going to see this in verses 8 through 15. It's going to say these things, and we're going to look at these things tonight because these things need to be in your life and these things need to be in my life. And Peter's telling the church in order to be strengthened, in order to grow upon the faith. And by the fact, if you read 1 and 2 Peter, there's two things that are really kind of evident. Number one, suffering. Peter talks a lot about suffering. But also Peter talks a lot about holiness, about living right. And so as we study 1 and 2 Peter, we see those two things come to the forefront. But as I say, I think in Sunday school or somewhere I said this, is that God never expects us to live holy without telling us how to live holy and giving us the tools to live that kind of life. And so as we look at this, look at verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, don't we see that everywhere. Corruption of our world today. Why is that? It's because of sin. But notice what he says, verse 5. By the way, he says in verse 4, you don't have to live like the world. You can escape that. Verse 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now notice verse 8, he says, for if these things be in you and abound, that make you that ye shall neither be barren or nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, by the way, this verse 10 is a great verse for eternal security. Notice what he says. If you have these things, it's going to take away the doubt. Verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, those that live right here on earth are going to be ruling and reigning with Christ in specific roles in the kingdom age. And by the way, it ought to be our desire to be as close to the throne. I don't want to be the janitor in the kingdom. Say amen. Amen. I don't know what you're going to clean up because it's going to be a clean place, but I'm just using that as an analogy. But I want to rule and reign with him as a governor. But it's going to be depending on what I did here. And how, matter of fact, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. What God has given you here, he's told you to be a steward of it. Why? Because one day you're going to be in a kingdom age with him. And you're going to rule and reign with him in that age. That's a different message, so keep going. Verse 12 says, wherefore I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, he's talking about in this clay, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Verse 15, he says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So after we pray, we'll look at these things. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for loving us. And God, I cannot do anything without you. And Lord, I certainly can't preach tonight. Lord, this is not my message. This is yours. This is your scripture. It's your Holy Spirit that's speaking through me. It'll be you that works in the hearts of each and every one here tonight. And so, God, remove me from this place. And God, my thoughts and my ways that, Lord, I'll not hinder this service. But God, that I'll yield my body as an instrument of righteousness in your hand. And God, and I do that. And I give my life. And I give myself. I give my voice to you tonight. And God, I know that this sermon has pricked my heart. And Lord, I've seen some things in my life that I need to work on. And so God, I pray as I preach that, Lord, I would not point the finger to anybody, but God, that I would be an encouragement to your people tonight. God, again, we ask that you do be with our pastor tonight, that you lay a healing hand upon him, give the doctors wisdom. Bless this time we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I was to ask most Christians, I would say, do you have a desire to live the Christian life? You would say, yes, I do. I want to live the Christian life to the best of my ability. But I believe that most of us have the problem in executing it. I believe that a lot of times we set out to do right. We set out to on Monday to say, you know what, I want to live what the preacher preached on Sunday. I want to live what the Sunday school teacher taught us on Sunday. But I believe we have the trouble in executing it. Matter of fact, if you read the book of James just before 1 Peter, you'll see that that is the execution of living out your faith and living out your salvation. It's a hard thing to do. And so many people say, well, how do I stay on the narrow road? How do I stay in living the right life? Well, he gives us, notice if you will, in verse 3, I'm going to skip some of this, but I want you to notice what he says. According as his divine power, by the fact, he's talking to saved people, right? Because he talks about those who have obtained like precious faith with us in verse 1 through the righteousness of God and our Savior. He says, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's talking to the saved people. He's saying, here's how you live the life. Verse 3, according to his divine power, hath given unto us. He says that twice, by the way, given unto us precious promises and given unto us the things that what? Pertain unto two things, life and godliness. Now, what is life? That's just how to live. God has given us the way to live. We as a saved person, you don't have to understand your Bible in order to live the right life. Now, the knowledge of God helps. We see that in that scripture through the knowledge. The more we know, the better we should act, the better we should do in this Christian life. But here's what he's saying. God has given us all things pertaining to life in order how to live, that we ought to work. If you're going to eat, you ought to work. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I love what Chief Brown said over in Dallas. He said, if you'll take down the trade in your picket signs for job applications. I was like, hallelujah. Finally, somebody telling somebody the truth. That goes for everybody. I don't care what color you are. Go get a job, and you won't have time to carry a protest sign. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, anyway, keep going. But here's the thing. He said, not only to life, but unto godliness. That's not talking about just living your life and making sure you're working, but to how to live the life right in spiritual wise. He's given us the things that would, matter of fact, if you read on down to verse 3, he says, called us unto glory. To glory, what does he mean? To give him glory. Our lives should bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives should bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like as a child, I didn't want to bring a bad name to my parents. I wanted to honor them. I wanted to obey them and honor them so that the Wiggins name... Now, the Wiggins name was already ruined before I got there. Because I have a brother. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I didn't want to dishonor my parents. Just like I don't want to dishonor my Father in heaven. I want to live the life correctly. Now, notice if you will, he says, and virtue. And we're going to talk about virtue because virtue is a key ingredient. You know what virtue is? It's a moral compass. It's having morality. You know what's wrong with America today? There's no morality. Our morals have been thrown out the door. There is no morals anymore between, and what is that? That's distinguishing what's right and wrong and saying what is right and wrong. By the way, it's one thing to know right and wrong. That's another thing to say something, hey, this is right and this is wrong. And we should stand for the right. Jesus said He's given us all things. He says He's given us these precious promises. In verse 4, He says, whereby are given us precious promises. What promises? He promised that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that He would save us with an eternal salvation. He's given us precious promises so we can live the life and that we can live by godliness. Now, by the way, these things in our life, we must activate them through faith and through living it. In Jesus Christ, our life. Notice, if you will, I love this chapter because it's very interesting, the wording here, and there's repetitive words. If you look through there, the word through is in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. He says through righteousness, and twice he says in verse 2 and 3, he says through knowledge. In other words, this is how you're going to get to these things. You're going to get to these things through righteousness. You're going to get there by getting saved. You can't have these things in your life if you've not went through the passage of righteousness. The passage, Pastor preached it this morning. There's one door. Amen. One door that we must go in. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We go through Christ in order to get saved. But also we go through the knowledge of Christ in order to live the right life. By the way, the problem with America is that we've not read this book. We put it on a shelf and it's gotten dusty and the hearts of man have... Matter of fact, you want to know what's wrong with morality in the world today? Is that we quit preaching this, we quit teaching this, and we quit applying it to people's lives and our lives. And so when you take away the rule book, you can play the game ever how you want to. Especially when people that are from the pulpit are cheering you on to live it, to play the game ever how you want to. And it doesn't matter who wins or loses. Yes, it does. My kids will not play a sport if somebody says, "Now it doesn't matter if they win or lose." Yes, it does. Amen. That's for sissies. Amen. Don't teach kids that. There is always a winner. And there's always, well, I don't want their self. I want their self-esteem to be a little shaken. It lets them do better in life. We don't want to hurt people's feelings anymore. Well, we shouldn't tell people that Jesus is the only way. Why not? So they'll die and go to hell? No, I'm going to tell people that Jesus is the only way. There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. By the way, I'm on the winning side. Oh, yes, I'm on the winning side. I've entered from death into life through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this world just blows my mind sometimes. Well, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm not looking to hurt anybody's feelings on purpose, but I'm going to tell them the truth because the truth matters in eternity. Now, the second thing, wording you see here is given unto, and I've already mentioned that. Given, He's not only through, but He's given us the things that pertain unto life and to godliness. He's also given us exceeding and great promises that will encourage us and remind us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so then we get to verse 8, and we see now these things. It's mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, or 5 times, 5 times, verse 8. Verse 9, verse 10, verse 12, and verse 15. These things, well, what are they? Well, these things are mentioned in verse 5. So let's look at these things and see how they can help us in... Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He even gives us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says that righteousness is the first thing. Well, Peter's already told us that. That it's through righteousness and it's through those precious promises you seek the kingdom of God. But these things shall be added unto you. Well, here's these things in 2 Peter. He says, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. By the way, if you don't have the faith, you can't add to it. It's kind of like in Acts, when you read, and they were daily, they were added to the church. Well, that means the church was already established. That means it was already established by the Lord Jesus. It wasn't started there. It was added to. You can't add to something unless it's already there, correct?
Amen, preacher.
All right. So notice what he says. He says, and add to your faith virtue. Virtue. That virtue is can I remind us that it's morality, that it is a compass, is a moral compass of doing right. Matter of fact, I believe the Proverbs talk about the virtuous woman, one who lives by moral compass. Let me say, where is the virtuous woman today? We are losing our virtuous people. He says, start with morality. By the way, a lost person can have morality. I've met lost people that have more greater morals than some Christians I've met that have at least a little moral to them. I remember just 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is that when you went to knock doors, at least people had a little morality to them. Today, they could care less what you see them in and how they cuss at you. Me and Pastor was talking to a guy a few months back, and we pulled up beside him, and Pastor, he had said a few cuss words to us, and of course they were talking about Mazda Miatas. I know y'all won't believe that, but they were. And the guy was just cussing, and the pastor said, well, I'm the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, and took time to explain who, and right after that, the guy just kept cussing. Pastor, we're like, okay, we're good. I mean, he was dropping some, you know, the bombs on us. And I was thinking, you know what, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. I don't think it would have. I can remember, I tell this all the time, but I started in the fire department back in 95, and I was called into the ministry, and it was amazing how whenever I was in the fire department, it was amazing how some of those guys, I knew how they talked, and I knew how it was, but it was amazing how they treated me. Even though I was a young kid, to some of them, they would still be like, hey, preacher, I was calling preacher, I'm sorry that you heard me say that. And that's amazing to me. I, you know what? Like, you know, I am praying for you. That's usually what I'd say. But in today's society, virtue is gone. That virtue is gone from the people of this world. Now, notice what he says. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is something that we need more of today. And he gives us what through. He says the knowledge. Now notice, if you will, in verse 3. He says this actually in verse 2 and 3. He says, and grace be to you multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. The bottom part of verse 3, he says, and through the knowledge of Him that hath called you, called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of who? He gives us very specifically through God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to learn about Him? How are you going to learn about Him? Right here. You say, well, I'm going to watch the Bible on TV. Don't do that unless you know this. Amen. Well, you know, preacher, I know him because I've watched the Ten Commandments by Charlton Heston 25 times. You don't know him. I've watched the whatever other movies, Risen, and whatever other movies they put out there. But I'm telling you, there's no substitution for knowing the book. And God help us that some of us have been saved for years and years and never read the book. We need to get in there and read the book. The more knowledge you have of Him, the more godly you'll live in your life. And matter of fact, hey, and Pastor always uses it, I can't ever remember, it's a Brother Stewart thing, but as the child of God looks into the Word of God, he's changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God and some other God stuff. Y'all know the saying. Pastor says it all the time. By the glory of God, for the glory of God, and glory in Jesus. Amen. I never can say it, but I like saying it like that because you'll remember that I messed it up. And the next time Pastor says it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember it. But the Word of God changes us. The Bible says that it is a mirror that we look into and it changes who we are. You know why we don't read the Bible? It's because we don't want to see who we truly are. Hey, I'm all right if I compare myself to Brother Tim. Brother Tim's close. Brother Tim's close. So, but let's change that around. Brother Tim's okay if he's judging himself by me. Because he can always go home tonight and Miss Carla and say, you know what? And Carla say, you know what, Tim, you're a mess. And Brother Tim look at him and say, well, I'm not as bad as Wiggins. He's like, well, I don't look too bad. But I'll tell you what. Brother Tim doesn't judge himself according to me, and I don't judge myself according to Brother Tim. Because every time I look into this book, it shows Michael Wiggins who he is. And that's why people don't read the book. Because it reveals to us who we are. By the way, every day I read my Bible, and every day God shows me something that I need to work on. Am I happy about it? Not a lot of times I'm not. Because you know what? There's a lot of times I don't want to let go of things in my life. Whether it be my attitude, my temper, or whatever troubles I'm having at that point. But I'm going to tell you what. When I read God's Word, it's amazing how my day is different. It changes us. Now notice what he says. To virtue, knowledge. Now let's keep reading these. He says, and to knowledge, temperance. That word temperance means self-control. Let's keep going. I hate that word. No, just kidding. Temperance. It's learning how to control yourself. The tempering of yourself and tempering of your life. By the way, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what Christ is trying to do in us. He's trying to transform us from the world into the image of Jesus Christ through His Word. And how are we going to transform? How are we going to get self-control and be tempered? It is through the Word of God. Knowledge, temperance. And then this next word, none of us like this word. It says to temperance, patience. You're like, preacher, hurry up. Good night. So slow with this message. But it is patience. Can I say to you that I'm not telling you to go home tonight and read your Bible and your life's going to be changed immediately. You're going to have patience in this. Just like you're going to have patience on people that get saved. They're not going to change overnight. It's amazing how sometimes we're like, well, they're saved now. They should know better. You got to remember, the children of Israel were in Egypt a lot longer than they were in the wilderness. And it took a long time to get it out of them. And can I remind us that some of us have been saved longer than we were lost, but some people have been lost longer than they've been saved. If they just got saved, it's a new world to them. We got to teach them. We got to train them through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is patience. And he says, while you're waiting, and James tells us this, let patience have her perfect work. But here it is, he says, and to patience, godliness. That is where we are today. We need godliness while we're waiting on God to change us and work in our life. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Now notice what he says. And to godliness, it's amazing he throws this one in here. By the way, it amazes me how many times the Bible tells us to love one another. It tells us to love one another more than it tells husbands to love their wives. It tells us to love one another more than it tells a wife to love her husband. Matter of fact, it doesn't even say that. But notice what it says. It says, into godliness, brotherly kindness. The meanest people I meet are independent fundamental Baptists. Isn't that amazing? We're better than everybody else. No, you're not. Your attitude stinks. That's why nobody wants to come to your church. That's why I like the goofhead over here in Lake Worth. We were talking about him the other day. He's praying that all these people die down in Orlando. Where's brotherly kindness at in that, my friend? It just makes him popular on YouTube, but he's not biblical. And I guarantee you, that next Sunday, he didn't have visitors coming to his church wanting to get saved. But I'm going to tell you what it is. It's going to be coming out here in the streets and highways and being kind to people. Not that I'm accepting their sin. Not that I'm going to they're going to be my best friends, but I'm going to be kind to them. I'm not going to be hateful to people. Why? Because the Word of God, through the Word of God, the knowledge of Christ, is tempering me. And I'm learning to grow in godliness, and I'm learning to grow in patience, and brotherly kindness is a product of that. Now notice what he says to brotherly kindness. What? Charity. Put it in action. Go out there and love somebody, despite who they are. Some of us, we have to love you despite who you are. And some of you have to love me in spite of who I am. But we ought to love the lost world out there. You know, I was thinking about a lot of bus kids we used to pick up on the bus, and Brother Clark knows what I'm talking about over at Lakeland. You know what? One of the key things they wanted from us was just somebody to love them. Because they didn't get it at the house. A lot of them didn't. A lot of them had drug addict parents. A lot of them didn't even have parents. And you know what they want? They want somebody to love them. And I'm telling you, if the church is not the place where somebody knows that they're loved, they'll go somewhere else where they are. And I'm not telling you we have to embrace the sins of this world, but I am telling you we have to embrace the sinners of this world. We oppose the sin, and we love the sinner. Well, notice what he says in verse 8, now that we know what these things are. All those things, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Verse 8 says, for if, now notice that word there, if, these things be in you, and abound, that they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what he says, but the person, in other words, if these things are in your life, you're, as a Christian, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to produce fruit of a Christian. Now notice what he says if you don't have these things. He says the man lacketh, if he lacketh these things, he is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten where he was purged from his old sins. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to know these things. I want to have these things in my life. And when we get to the point where these things are in our life, Jesus says that we will become fruitful, that our life will be blessed by the hand of God. By the way, verse 8, if I have these things in my life and verse 8 doesn't happen, that means God's a liar. But God is not a liar. If these things are in my life, God's going to make me fruitful. It doesn't mean God's going to give me $1 million. That just simply means that people are going to be saved, people are going to be blessed, and my family will be blessed because of these things. These things will help you in three areas. Number one, in morality. We need these things, right? Morality, in maturing, and mentally. By the way, our world mentally is leaving us. Amen? Mentally, people are absent from church on Sunday. Let this mind be in you. How many times did Jesus deal with the mind? How many times by the purging of our mind, by the renewing of our mind, sometimes we can go through life and we're at church, we're at visitation, but mentally we're so far away. Spiritually, we're so far away. And we need Christ to come in and be with our mind and change our mind. I figured out the key to dieting. It's just don't eat. Don't get around food. Go live on an island. No. It's mentally you have to change the way you think about food. It really is. And I had to change the way I thought about food. And sometimes I allow those thoughts to come back. Especially when my wife wakes brownies and brings Bluebell ice cream home. She needs to be at the altar. But I had to change the way I thought about food. I had to change the way I thought about drinks. I had to think water's real good. Now I desire water now. I hate water. I hated water before, but I had to change my mind about it. By the way, we ought to change our mind about things of God. It should never enter into our mind that, should I go to church today or should I not? It ought to just be a set thing. Our moral compass ought to always be pointed toward Christ. You say, well, the world says this is okay. No, I'm not. No, let's don't listen to them. They get it wrong every day. Let's listen to God, who sets the standard. And let our moral compass and our maturing mature in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be 30 years old in the Lord. I'm not 30 years old, but I'm 30 years old being born again, and I'm still sucking my thumb. Amen? I want to be maturing. How am I going to do that? Through the knowledge of Him. By the way, I don't know everything in this Bible, and there's not anybody here that knows everything in this Bible. You can study it. There's some of you who's been studying it 60 years, 6 years, 10 years, and I think all of us agree. Every day I find something new in here. That's the difference between a living word and a novel. You can read a novel, or you can read whatever, and you read it and you're like, oh, okay, I'm done with that book. I got it. But you read this and it's you never get it all, because it's a living word, and the Holy Spirit works in your life and He illuminates you and He helps you to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, are these things in your life tonight? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Tim's going to come lead us in hymn 153. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night. God, thank You for loving us. And Father, thank You for these things that were mentioned by Peter. And God, as we see these things, Lord, may we find them in our life. Lord, I know there may be some here tonight that, Lord, look through this list of things and, Lord, may say, yes, that's there, but that's not there. Lord, help us all to to grab a hold of all these things. And Lord, have them in our life. And God, that you may bless us and that you may, Lord, help us to be fruitful. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this time. I ask you to bless this invitation. In Jesus' name. Hymn 153, if you need to come tonight to altars.